welcome to a cornucopia of tales and tellers. Today I'm very happy to be joined by David, who's going to help me interview Alla Göksu. Hello, David.
Hello, Simona. It's great to be here. And I feel very privileged that we've got as a special guest today my very, very dear friend, Alla Göksu. I've known Alla for a number of years through English language teaching. I met Alla for the first time at a conference about using drama and creativity in a conference in Germany. And we've been at conferences together. Alla's run conferences through an organization called Migranet in the past. And we've collaborated, we've written a chapter together, but let's find out more. Alla, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello. I'm really pleased to be part of this event today. Thank you, Simona, for invitation. Thank you, David. It's really important for me, and especially in these days. And maybe you'll understand why when I tell about my origin, where I come from. I live at the moment in Germany for more than 20 years, and I'm a teacher for English and mathematics at the secondary school. But what more, it's only one part of me. My second part, or where I originate from, is I'm Ukrainian by birth. I've lived my first half of my life in Ukraine, in the middle of it, in the small town not far from Kyiv, so maybe 100 kilometers from Kyiv. And of course, everything what is happening now there touches me deep to my heart. And I'm really with my fork now. So
we really appreciate you being here. And we want to send our messages of empathy and hope and wishes for peace to you and all of the people of the Ukraine and who are connected to Ukraine.
Yeah, thank you very much. They need them more than ever now.
Stories are a good way of connecting people and a good way of talking about ourselves, our identities, and who we are. And I think this is very much your connection to storytelling, Alla, isn't it?
Yes, actually, yes. In the very beginning, as I met you, I saw it only as one tool for teaching foreign languages, and one tool for using it for vocabulary, for enriching language, for just using foreign language. But in the course of time, I appreciated it more and more, as often every time I came in touch with you, I learned a bit more about myself through the stories you told. And one day I just recognized the real value of it, because I knew that it's more than only a tool for learning. It has a more deep sense. It connects us with ourselves. It helps to reflect about ourselves on the base of the stories which were told by the folks all over the world. And we start with our own stories. Yeah. And through sharing stories, we can tell much more about ourselves. And that was what I noticed for our students, which was very important, because I used to work, or even now, I work in the school with very high migration background. More than 80% of the students are of different origins. They come all over the world. And we've got in my previous class, where I was a tutor, there were 14 nationalities. And what is more important is connecting people first before they can leave or work together. They have to get to know each other more. So that was my very important tool, and is still my very important tool, the first one.
So let's talk a bit about this, about your origins, about your folk, is the term you used, Ukrainian folk tales. You grew up with stories, with Ukrainian folk tales?
Yes, but not only Ukrainian folk tales. Of course, previously, just from the very beginning, I was told stories by my mom, and they were oral stories, also by my grandmom in the kindergarten. This way of breathing up was just natural one for children. And I think that was the very beginning of my love to stories. I started to read by myself with 5 years. I learned to read, and that was the very beginning where I just started to read stories. And they were not only Ukrainian stories. I love Russian folk stories. Then there are stories of all folks of the former Soviet Union. So I came in touch with all of them. They were open to me, and that is a source of the wisdom, as I now can see. So this is a tradition which I think which brings me back and helps me now to live it further and to show it, to perform it here.
Your own interest in story is more than folk tales. It's about folk tales and personal tales and the combination of the two, if you like, as well, is a way of, like you said, inviting people in, inclusion, I think, is key. We wrote a chapter together for a British Council publication. Our chapter was titled Storytelling for Diverse Voices. So can you tell me a bit more about your work in inclusion and storytelling for diverse voices and how that works?
I noticed the children were about the 12, age of 12, 13. And normally in the state schools, it's expected that students, pupils, children, that they assimilate with the major culture. So the culture, language is German, and so you have to perform everything in German. And that is the way of thinking how the connection works. But when we think back about, for example, I don't remember the names of some book authors, but just performing this way of treatment, when we think more about the personality, development of personality, there are different of them. And when we apply only this part of person, this German part, there is maybe only 20% of what the student, the person can share, can show. And this majority, this bigger part of itself, the person, as students are hiding, because it's not welcome, it's not needed, so to say, in school system. And when you start to look after behind that and to be curious about what are your roots, what can you give more, bring more to this community, what makes you so special comparing to other students, German students. And I thought about ideas, how could I use that, performing that, and just talking directly, perform your, make dialogues, for example, perform it in your own languages. As I used that for the first time, I noticed that they felt very awkward, not convenient, not comfortable, as if they have to show something they are ashamed of. So in this feeling of shame, I was really stuck by that finding and observation. And I thought, how could it be? There is much more value in it when we stop hiding ourselves and are proud of what we are. So then there is 100% of inclusion of the person. and we live from this variety of different cultures and different personalities. And that was the way that I noticed. I read a lot about storytelling and stories and their use. And I noticed that when you start talking in some neutral space, so this is the safe space where you can enter in. And this space is very warm. There are a lot of, it's suggesting a lot of feelings which are otherwise not allowed to. You are not allowed to be weak. You are not allowed to be afraid. There are bad feelings and good feelings. So just the focus on the good feelings, but they are all important. And so when this space is created, it's safe. And children or even adult, as we observe that, can decide by their own whether they want to open themselves in this space. So there is no urge, there is no must. So everything is according to me, how far I'm going to present myself. Because it has nothing to do with myself, but it's a story. And through talking about the story, through association with the main characters from the stories, through talking about the feelings, children present themselves a lot of their own in this talking. And after that, they say, whoa, it's not dangerous to be myself. Yeah. And this sharing makes everyone feeling more connected within the class.
And I think that hesitation, that nervousness around opening up about personal stories, yes, is not just from the students, it's also from many teachers. Many teachers feel afraid. If we open this, it could be like a can of worms. It could provide, there's going to be a lot of fear, a lot of strong feelings. Students might get very mentally, it might be very damaging. But in fact, you're saying that kind of the opposite can happen. When we lift the lid in a safe space, then students can feel safe to share and will support each other. They will hold each other.
Yes, they can show stories, and this space gives the chance to show the empathy and to suggest help and to give the suggestions. That is the idea of that, I think. Then when one is afraid to talk about the problems or something what you are thinking about, just like in the situation we are, a lot of people in Ukraine are afraid of what will happen. There is no certainty in the future, no certainty in the lives. No one knows how it will end, what will happen some days. And this creating of this common, it's kind of common platform where you can talk about it, and maybe there are some solutions will come out of it. And you on your own, you couldn't come to the solution. And I think just now, when we look, watch at what Ukrainian folk is doing, yeah, there is this connection, but I think it's the best example. They are talking the story together. They are creating a new story. That is, I think, what is just been happening now, that Ukrainian folk want to give up the old story. And it's so difficult to give it up. You have first to show what doesn't work, which feelings maybe has been the whole time under the surface. They have their space now in the story, and everyone connecting together is making or creating the common story. And that is also the value of the storytelling. It doesn't matter, is it community of the country or community of the small group, class group. It gives the possibility to leave own stories for the sake of their own common new one.
So what's the role for... Well, I'm going to ask you personally, what do you see as your role in this as a person who is from Ukraine? you yourself are living and have a place as an educator, and you also are a person who has influence in your local region of Lower Saxony in Germany, because you talk to people who are working in the Ministry of Education. You have a good relationship there. You've in the past been the coordinator of Migranet, a network of teachers across Lower Saxony who come from diverse heritages, who come together, support each other, support the learning of students from diverse heritages. You have a special place. What do you see as your role at this moment, as you know, in terms of this new story?
Yeah, I thought that as you wrote me the very first day where the war started, and I appreciated so much all the messages, words, warm words from my friends, and you was the one who was one of the first, and I thought, okay, I'm really, it helped me not to break into the tears and not to feel helpless. And I thought, how can I use everything what I have on my skills, on my situation, how can I use to help my people over there, my country, who is suffering this struggle? And that was what I told you. I have got my voice, and that is my weapon. I can use it now, and maybe that is what I've been learning, this method of storytelling, and I thought why it's so important. Now, that is my role, to tell the story, and in a powerful way, to show the others what to do, which way, and what is important. And the most important thing for me is the connection, that when we get out of our egos, get out of our stories, who we are. So we are not only women or men, we're not only Ukrainian, German, English, Italian. We have to leave all those things. We're not only teachers. What most important is, we are people. We are human beings. And I think when we step inside, outside of all these stories which make us and influence us, we will see that we are connected. And that's why, so it doesn't matter what I've got, but I use now this situation because I know I'm a human being and I'm responsible for the future of our children.
Yes, yes. And you were also saying that for people who are from Ukraine, who are temporarily displaced in other countries as refugees, there is also an important, there are important things we can do. Like you were saying earlier about the inclusion of that language. You mentioned to me before the interview began that you're even talking to the local ministry about possibly including some of the Ukrainian school curriculum for the students that are maybe in Germany for a short period of time, to enable the children to adjust, to develop, to continue to learn in some kind of way during this terrible hiatus in their lives.
Yeah, as a teacher, I see children every day here in my classes. And on the very first day, as I was really desperate, and I didn't know how I would manage the day at school, I burst into tears as I came into school. And the first question of my colleague was, how do you feel? And I felt really badly. I noticed I couldn't say a word, and I thought about running away, and just I had to cry. And then after 10 minutes, I had to enter my class. And I saw my five-year-old students, fifth graders. They're not five-year-olds, fifth graders. They are 10 and 11. And I saw their gazes, their smiles, smiling faces. And I thought, children, they should be safe. And it's our responsibility to feel them feeling safe. So I just pretended nothing has happened and I have to work. They have their right for learning, the children here. But at the same time, I thought, what about the children in Ukraine? It doesn't matter where, they have their right for learning. And and now they suffer. They will be not able maybe for some months to visit school. And when they are here, we should connect them to their learning system. And I think the corona time has presented us home learning. So when we think on this international level and connect our politicians, connect together, work together, and can arrange that we get here a curricula from Ukraine and give the possibilities, the rooms, the equipment for them to learn, they will not miss anything. There will be a kind of normality for these children because they've got not the same rules as the refugees who come for longer time. Yeah, the option for them is they want to come back to their homes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's a different set of circumstances.
Yeah. That's why I thought about that, and I hope that will be heard and can arrange quickly, because we have to act really quickly.
Well, thank you for what you're doing in that regard. I think it's hugely beneficial. And thank you very much for sharing, you know, your story of what's going on for you at the moment as a Ukrainian. Simona, have you got a question that you would like to ask Ella?
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment on what you said earlier. It's just an idea that came to my mind while you were speaking. And I know that during the project of Around the World in 88 Tales, and also the other day when we did an event, the three of us together, you told the story of Fox and Crane, and you told it as a Ukrainian story, but that's also a story from all over the world. And you were talking about connection and the fact that we can create connections through stories. And these just seemed like a wonderful example of the connections that we have as human beings, and not just as a Ukrainian person, an English person, an Italian person, but we have deeper connections because in our heritages we have stories that are same stories, but with different things that also connect us, because the story is the same, the structure is the same, but that also make us unique as people and as heritages, because we have, you put those elements of the flowers and the dress that the fox wears, and it's just how I imagine Ukrainian folk people during parties and festivities to dress with their traditional clothes, and to include that element in your story made it really Ukrainian, and it's just an element that I could never include in my story if I were to tell it the Italian way, and it's just amazing, and it was just a comment of something that came into my mind while you were speaking, how true that is.
But you've got the point that it's underneath, we tell all the same story. And that is what I appreciate, this method, storytelling, for. it has much more value as just people think about stories.
It was very, very interesting, the actual experience I had of coming into the school where you were a few years ago and telling stories. I tried to tell stories that originated in those students' heritages, ancestries. And then after I left the school, I understand that you had those students reflect on those stories. But what actually happened is they didn't just retell those stories and tell folk tales, but they also started to open up more about their own personal stories. So it was through the folk tales that they were able to then share much deeper stories about their own, often about their migration stories as well. And I find that very interesting, that the folk tale can open up much more, much deeper personal matters. And again, you're creating that safe environment. The story acts as a kind of metaphor, as a kind of key to open up our hearts.
Yes, you're quite right. You sum up to what I tried to speak about, but just to give it back, I've learned it through you, because I think to a good story, you can't tell a story, a good story, if you're not a good storyteller. And
to be a good storyteller means you need to be a good listener. And I think you're living proof of this, Ella, that you really listen to the people that you teach. And that for me is the key to being a great teacher as well, is actually really, really listening to the people that we're with and helping them to listen to each other.
Yes, and we shouldn't do our, that is what I take from you now. You shouldn't use your students, the children you are teaching, or people you are telling the story. Through storytelling, you can't make them to objects. You know, that is what was the system, school systems nowadays are still doing.
That's true.
You can't avoid as a child learning in school. So you have to learn, but the stuff you are taught has nothing to do with students very often. And through storytelling, you can just help the child to know what is important for it, what is important for me for the next development, level of development. What do I need? It's another way of treating the child and education as it is. So it's another problem, what I've been thinking about, but a lot of teachers, of course, are thinking about the school and better way of teaching and helping students to learn. I think it's just common truth.
Right. Well, thank you very, very much, Ella, for joining us at this very difficult time. And we send our love and support to you and all Ukrainians, and a wish for a good resolution, if this is possible.
Thank you a lot. As I've told, it means a lot, the support from just ordinary people, not from the politician. I think the people all over the world, they are with Ukraine, and through you, they get this energy, which is very important for these times. And thank you for invitation and for this very lovely interview. I enjoyed it very much. I've been very excited before that. And I loved it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. And I do love Ukrainian tales.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. So thank you, Ella, for being with us. Now we are going to add a piece to this podcast. What you're going to listen to is a recording of a live event. David, Ella, and me as well, but you won't hear my part. You will just hear David and Ala tell a story together for the park life in Exeter. David invited Ala and myself to tell a story, and it was a wonderful event with a live audience. There were a lot of kids, really good listeners, and David and Ala told a story together, alternating English and Ukrainian, and they told the story of the crane and the fox, which we talked about earlier. So please enjoy this recording, and enjoy also how these lovely kids were interacting with David and Ala during the recording.
They were amazing.
Story. Once long ago, Sister Fox and Brother Crane were friends. Crane is a bird with a very long neck and very long legs that wades in the water and has a very long beak. Brother Crane, said Sister Fox. They were such good friends. They called each other brother and sister, but they weren't really truly brothers and sisters. They were just best friends. Have you got a friend like that? Brother Crane, said Sister Fox, would you like to come to mine to eat a delicious meal? Oh, yes, said Brother Crane. But you know Sister Fox liked playing tricks. Brother Crane put on his best coat of feathers and preened himself, preparing to go for the special meal. He arrived at Sister Fox's house and she said, come in, Brother Crane.
Добре, я розпочну свою казочку про лисичку-сестричку і журавля. Вони були найкращі друзі. Вони були навіть кращі, ніж друзі, ближчі, ніж друзі. Вони були кумами. І вони проводили багато часу разом. Одного дня лисичка-сестричка запросила журавля до себе додому. Журавель зрадів і от він одяг свої самі найкращі пір'я, та він їх начистив, він був такий гарний, він приготувався і прийшов до сестрички лисички додому.
Brother Crane came into the house and Sister Fox said, come in, Brother Crane, I have made a delicious milk porridge. And Sister Fox served the milk porridge in a big, round, flat dish. Brother Crane put his long beak down to the dish. Peck, peck, peck. But he couldn't get any of the porridge. The porridge was all flat in the dish. He tried again. Can you try too, everybody? Peck, peck. Could he get any of that porridge out of that flat dish?
No.
Oh dear.
Лисичка побачила, запросила журавля зайти до себе додому. І сказала, я сьогодні приготувала чудову вечерю. І запросила його сісти до столу. І журавель зрадів. Він подумав, от як добре, ми сьогодні ввечері разом поїмо. І лисичка приносить тарілочку, але вона була плоска, міленька. І на цій тарілочці було дуже тоненько розмазана кашка. Журавель подивився на тарілочку і дзьобом намагався взяти хоч трошки кашки. Але як він не старався, у нього нічого не вийшло.
Well, Sister Fox looked at Brother Crane and then she came to that dish and she took out her long tongue and she ate all of the milk porridge. Can you show me how Sister Fox licked it all up? It was all gone, and Brother Crane got nothing. At the end of the meal, Brother Crane said, "Sister Fox, tomorrow come to my house and I will make food for you."
Лисичка подивилася на журавля, сказала, як шкода, що ти не можеш їсти. Мені прийдеться з'їсти кашку за тебе. І вона злизала всю кашку сама і сказала, як смачно. Журавель подивився на неї і сказав, добре, наступного разу я запрошую тебе прийти до мене.
Sister Fox spent the next day getting ready for the special meal. She brushed her red fur. She put on her most beautiful white linen dress. She tied ribbons in her fur. And then she put bright coloured flowers behind her ears. She looked absolutely beautiful. She came that evening to Brother Crane's house. And Brother Crane said, come in, Sister Fox. I have prepared a delicious meal for you."
Так от, лисичка не могла дочекатися того моменту, коли вона піде в гості до журавля. У неї дуже гарне руде хутро, і воно таке м'якеньке, і воно таке тепленьке. І вона в цей день його ще краще начистила. Вона причесалась, вона вдягла найкраще своє плаття, яке вона знайшла в себе в шафі. Вона вдягла, заплела в коси такі гарні бантики різнокольорові і почепила сережки. І прийшла до журавля додому.
Well, do you know what's going to happen? Can anybody guess? I think you can. Sister Fox came in looking so beautiful. And Brother Crane said, "I have made you vegetable stew. And here it is." She served the stew in a tall, narrow jug. Do you remember the jug I showed you? A tall, narrow-necked jug. Well, Sister Fox put her nose into the top of the jug, but she couldn't get it very far down. She stuck out her long tongue and tried to reach that delicious-smelling stew. Do you think she could reach it?
No.
Would you like to try? It smelled so good, but she couldn't taste any stew. Finally, Sister Fox gave up. Brother Crane put his long beak into the jug and sucked up all of the stew. Sister Fox was cross. But Brother Crane said, "Now, Sister Fox, I hope you've learned your lesson."
Так от, лисичка прийшла до журавля додому, постукала до нього в двері. Журавль відчинив і сказав, "Запрошую тебе, лисичко, сестричко, заходь до мене в мою гостину." Лисичка зайшла і зразу до столу, і потім почала очікувати, що ж такого смачного приготував їй журавель. Журавель виніс горнятко, але воно було дуже високе, з вузенькою шийкою. Лисичка заглянула, подивилась, подумала, як же йти, їсти той смачний суп, який там знаходиться. Вона намагалася, як тільки не старалась, але не змогла ні шматочку звідти достати. Журавель подивився на неї, а потім спокійно і дуже смачно з'їв весь свій суп. А після того запитала лисички: ти навчилася? Взяла з нього урок?
Thank you, Alla, for being with us. It was a really wonderful interview, and it was a real roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes you made us smile, sometimes you had us close to tears, or even teary-eyed. And so thank you very much. We hope everything will be all right soon for your country. And thank you, David, for helping me with this interview. You were really the right person to interview Alla, since you know her so well. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening, and bye for now. We'll be back soon with a new episode. Bye.
Bye.